Psalm 65. Another short psalm of David goes like this. Praise is due to you, O God, in Zion, and to you shall vows be performed. O you who hear prayer, to you shall all flesh come. When iniquities prevail against me, you atone for our transgressions. Blessed is the one you choose and bring near to dwell in your courts. We shall be satisfied with the goodness of your house, the holiness of your temple. Excuse me. By awesome deeds you answer us with righteousness. O God of our salvation, the hope of all the ends of the earth and of the farthest seas, the one who is by his strength established, the one who by his strength established the mountains, being girded with might, who stills the roaring of the seas, the roaring of their waves, the tumult of the peoples, so that those who dwell at the ends of the earth are in awe at your signs. You make the going out of the morning and the evening to shout for joy. You visit the earth and water it. You greatly enrich it. The river of God is full of water. You provide their grain, for so you have prepared it. You water its furrows abundantly, settling its ridges, softening it with showers, and blessing its growth. You crown the year with your bounty. Your wagon tracks overflow with abundance. The pastures of the wilderness overflow. The hills gird themselves with joy. The meadows clothe themselves with flocks. The valleys deck themselves with grain. They shout and sing together for joy. Well, this is obviously a very prayerful, praiseful sort of a psalm. He begins just praising God. Starts with praising God for forgiveness. He says in verse 3, when iniquities prevail against me. That's a fancy way of saying when I fall to sin. What happens? He says, you atone for my transgressions. And the word atone here means to cover sin and its effects. And its effects to atone. Okay, David is thankful. Thankful to the Lord. Even when I mess up, you atone. You take care of me. You cover my sins. He says in verse 4, blessed is the one you choose and bring near to dwell in your courts. And David is in David's mind, he's talking about Israel. Blessed is the nation that you bring near and the people of that nation that you draw, you know, to yourself and so forth. But in a larger sense, we understand this to be true for all those who have come to faith. In the Lord and become children of God. There's a blessed condition for those of us who have been chosen to draw near. And then as David moves on in this psalm, his praise doesn't stop with, you know, God's work among the Israelites. Now, notice he says in verse 5, by awesome deeds you answer us with righteousness, O God of our salvation. Then he calls him the hope of all the ends of the earth and of the farthest seas. Notice that? And then look again in verse 8, he says, so that those who dwell, look at this, at the ends of the earth are in awe at your signs. In other words, God is, and when the Bible talks about the ends of the earth or the ones who are the farthest away, he's not necessarily talking about geographical distance, but it's, you know, it's kind of included in the idea, but it means the unreachable, those who are away from you, those that are the farthest from you, Israel being the closest, but these other nations being the farthest. He says, so that even those who dwell the farthest away are going to be in awe at all the things that you do. And he begins to talk in those final verses about how God has revealed himself in creation. Look at those last verses, 9 through 13. I mean, good grief, he talks about enriching the earth with water. You know, do you think about that very often? We have been hearing very, very good news about the snowpack in the mountains around our area here. I guess February was like one of the wettest months on record. I saw that at Bogus Basin, they were celebrating 100 inches of snow at the base of the mountain, which they said they hadn't had since 1940. So it's been an amazing water year here this early spring. Is it too early to call this early spring? I'm calling it early spring. We're calling it, all right? You can tell everybody I said so. It's, you know, we got really good news. You know, I mean, it's better than when we hear some of those years, you know, well, the snowpack is pretty low. And not this year. Wow, it looks like it's going to be a good water year. But have you ever thought, do you think about that much, that God enriches the earth with water? I like the way David says it. We just expect it. We've become so casual about things like that most of the time. Even living here in the desert, I mean, when we're thirsty, we just go turn on the tap. But God enriches the earth. The hydrological cycle of the earth is constantly refreshing. Constantly, you know, I mean, when you, it's really amazing. I don't know if you've studied that whole hydrological cycle of, you know, rain falling from the clouds and watering the earth and then evaporation and then up into the clouds again and then and just this cycle going over and over and filling the oceans, flowing to this, flowing to there, and it just keeps going, just keeps going. He says, providing the grain. God provides the grain, softening the earth with showers so that they can plant their crops, blessing it with growth, crowning the year with bounty, girding the hills and pastures with joy, clothing the meadows with flocks. I know it sounds rather poetic, but it's kind of neat. Decking the valleys with grain. So what is David doing here? He's saying even to the ends of the earth, people are going to be in awe when they see what you've done. Notice that, when they see what you've done. Paul writes in Romans chapter 1 that the heavens are literally speaking. And he says that creation is such that it declares the Lord. And that for that reason, men will be without excuse when they look at creation and they see how beautiful. And you know, the more we've learned scientifically speaking, the more it seems impossible to think that this just all happened. Do you know how many things had to come into being with just our one planet so that life could exist on this planet? I mean, it's astronomical to think about all of the things that had to happen in just the exact right way, any one of them being off by just a little, and life could not be sustainable on this planet. God made this planet to sustain life for us. He created it that way. And the more we learn about it, the more you have to choose to say, I refuse to believe it. Not because I can't believe it, I just refuse. That's a theory I'm not willing to even entertain, right? What the Bible has to say. So this psalm is a celebration of the goodness of God. It's a beautiful psalm. It just recounts both his spiritual and his physical blessings that have been poured out upon us.